Good morning. It's a blessing to be here with you all this morning. A lot of faces that I don't recognize this morning, but I trust God is working in all of your lives and drawing you to Himself. I think we could probably just go home from what we heard this morning. We could go home and we'd have plenty to meditate on and feed on. I was, richly blessed with everything that was shared this morning. There in the beginning that Jesus would have the preeminence in all things. That is truly my desire, and I think everyone here this morning, that Jesus would have the preeminence in all things, in all of life, in everything we do and pursue, and especially here today. just real quick on what Matt shared, one phrase that stuck out to me, or many, but what caught my attention was there Job. It says that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. When he prayed for his friends. At the end, God, the last thing Job had to do was pray for his friends. The ones that basically called him an evildoer. In different places, they weren't real encouraging to him. But that's where God wants us all, right? That's when He can work in our lives, when we're completely surrendered. So, what I have to share this morning is just something I've been meditating on recently. I believe it's a very vital aspect of our Christian life and very closely connected to faith and walking in the power of the Spirit. And we heard many examples of it this morning, of people that were walking in the fear of God. So that's what I've been meditating on, is the fear of God, that walking in the fear of God. And we're going to just skim across some of that this morning on how it, what it looks like, what it does, and how it plays out in our life. I believe it's a very important subject. You know, the fear of the Lord is throughout the Bible, and it's much needed today. You know, in society there seems to be a very shallow understanding of this loving God that we have over us. And we can tend to be quick to share the gospel of the love of God, sinner, and that is good. But to follow through and help them see what their sin really cost the Lord Jesus, and that it would birth a holy reverence and fear of God in their hearts. I believe that if we can get an understanding and see God for who He is, get that holy fear and reverence in our hearts, that there'd be a lot more victory in our lives as we walk with Him. I believe the fear of the Lord is something we grow in as He leads us through the valleys and over the mountains. And as we reflect on His faithfulness, our reverence and awe of God grows. And out of that, when there's a reverence and an awe, out of that comes worship and praise. And that's what the fear of the Lord is. It can be, it's many things, but it plays out in many ways. If we can get a hold of that, of who God is, how great He is. And for a text, I'm going to read a few verses in Hebrews 12. We may read them a couple times. Hebrews 12, start verse 25. It says, "Seeing that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that speaketh on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more. I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, and that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And we heard many examples of that this morning. We heard of Joseph, and it was the fear of God that he couldn't sin against. He couldn't sin against his God. It was that holy fear he had of God. It wasn't of man. And that spirit that was in him, or that spirit that was with him, I guess we would say it more correctly. The spirit was with him in that day. But today, that spirit dwells in us, as we heard this morning. The hope of glory dwells in us. Now that should cause a great fear, a great carefulness and trembling, knowing that it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So, let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll continue on here. Father in heaven, as we pause in Your presence here this morning, we turn our cups up to You, Lord, and we're asking You, Lord, for the outpouring of Your Spirit and grace upon the remainder of this service, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would edit those things, that You'd have me to speak, that I would be careful, Lord, there'd be a carefulness to only speak those things that You want spoken, and that You would withhold those things that You don't want spoken, Lord. And first of all, Lord, I pray that it would minister to my own heart and soul, Lord, and I trust that it could minister to Your people here today, Lord. We just commit this service into Your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, we're going to just skim through some of this. Romans tells us of what people are like that don't fear God. Romans 3 says, I'm just going to be sharing a few verses here and there. Romans 3 says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known, for there is no fear of God before their eyes. Proverbs 16:6 tells us how men depart from that. It says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. And when we're speaking of the fear of the Lord, there's many, I think, many synonyms to that. But it's ultimately that fear, that reverence, that awe of a mighty God over us, and that chooses to dwell within us. It should cause a reverence in our hearts. But another phrase in that same thing, in that same verse, you could probably phrase that as the fear of the Lord by repentance and faith men depart from evil. They're very closely connected. I mean, I think when we talk of the fear of the Lord, can you have faith without a holy fear and reverence of God? We can maybe have a mental assent, but that faith that births righteousness in our hearts comes from a fear of God. And Malachi 1:6 tells us that God is jealous of a people that will fear Him. It says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I be a father, where is mine honor? God is saying. If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. He's jealous of a people that will reverence Him, that will give Him praise and worship. And Psalm 128:1 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. And then in Ecclesiastes, there's the conclusion of the whole matter. It says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. But what we're going to look going on here, we want to I want to start by defining what kind of fear we're talking about, because we're surrounded by a Western culture that views fear as a bad thing. And yes, there is a fear that the Bible tells us not to have. There is a fear that hath torment. It says that perfect love casts out fear, and that it's that fear of terror, of being afraid, that fear that if you're walking in sin should be stirring in your heart. There should be that type of fear. But this fear is a completely different fear. And I had read a little article, found something that Martin Luther wrote that made a distinction between the kinds of fear that I think is a bit helpful. He made a distinction between what he called the servile fear and the phileo fear. The servile fear, which is a forced service or doing something cringingly, it's the fear that we often think of. It's the fear of, the fearing of looming danger or impending torture and pain. Think of how a slave would fear their master that beats them for each little mistake or wrong. Servile fear leads someone to obey a master not out of love, but out of fear, force, and control. And the phileo fear I had to think of that, the difference between the two kingdoms that Matt was sharing this morning. The difference between the two, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, is in the kingdom of this world, we have to. You're forced to follow this program if you're going to be a part of this country. But in the kingdom of God, His love compels us and we get to. We're not forced to. So that's a I love that picture. And so now going on to the phileo fear is much different. It says, think of a child who has tremendous respect and love for his father. He sees how much bigger and wiser his father is, and he doesn't want to disappoint him, not out of fear of punishment, but because he loves him. In fact, when he does disobey, he finds grace and restoration, not condemnation, which increases the respect he has for his father. It's phileo fear that we're called to have for God. To fear God is to take the posture of a child. It means that we have awe and respect toward a majestic God, not because we fear he's going to torture us if we don't, rather because we recognize how great and mighty he is and how much he loves us. And then the vine's definition of this fear is a reverential fear. A reverential fear of God as a controlling motive of the life in matters spiritual and moral. Not a mere fear of His power and righteous retribution, but a wholesome dread of displeasing Him. A fear which banishes the terror that shrinks from His presence, and which influences the disposition and attitude of one whose circumstances are guided by trust in God through the indwelling Spirit of God. This reverential fear of God, this awe of God, this fear, it says, it banishes the terror, the other fear that shrinks from His presence. That's how we overcome wrong fears. It's that reverent fear of God. It dispels unhealthy fears in our lives. Because we're walking in worship and praise and surrenderedness to God when we are reverencing Him. And I marvel at all the little fears that want to come into our lives that we're tempted with, and maybe you're all not tempted in those ways, but you know, you're not, just many things that the devil wants to tempt us with, little fears that you're not qualified for that. You're not able to do this. You're not this. You're not that. But when we turn and worship God, God takes those away. He takes them away. And the Bible has a lot to say about fearing God. In Proverbs and Psalms, we're told over and over that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is in Proverbs 1:7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. And that reverence and worship of God is the beginning of wisdom. We begin to get knowledge, that knowledge of knowing Christ, knowing Him, walking with Him. We learn of Him because our heart and our heart attitude is in the right place to learn. It's in the right, it's not distracted by the things of this world. And then Psalms 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments, and His praise endureth forever. So it's where knowledge, wisdom, and understanding start. It's not with self-confidence, not with education, but with a right view of a holy God. And on the flip side, the scripture tells us that those who reject God don't fear Him at all. And Psalms 36 describes the wicked this way. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before His eyes. In other words, they live like God doesn't care or see us at all times. Then in the New Testament, moving on, it says that Jesus, He made a pretty intense statement here in the New Testament. He tells His disciples not to fear the people who can harm their bodies, but to fear the one who holds eternal authority. Matthew 10:28, He says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. That's not about being terrified of God. It's about recognizing that He's holy and just and ultimately in control of everything. It's not there for the Christian to fear, but for the Christian to gain courage. And it doesn't stop there. In Acts 9:31, says of the early church that they walked in the fear of the Lord, and as a result, it grew and was strengthened. Then the churches had rest throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So you all must be walking in the fear of the Lord. You're being multiplied here. From the last time I was here, there was only a few families. So continue. So we see from the scriptures that I read that the Bible is clear. Fearing God is a good thing. It's not just encouraged, but it's essential. It marks the lives of those who trust Him. And it leads to a deeper and wiser and more fulfilled and abundant life. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundant. And so, yeah, remember when I'm talking about fear, I'm not talking about that forced servant, that servile fear that is a cruel master. But fearing God is a phileo fear, a deep respect, a sense of awe, a love that says, God, I don't want to go my own way. I want to honor You. And we've seen that God's Word talks a lot about the fear of the Lord, and it leads to a blessed life. So let's look at why we should fear God. And we already read some of these, but I'm just going to go through. Like I said, I'm just scratching the surface of the fear of the God, of fear of God. But we heard many examples this morning of Joseph, of Job, and Paul. That's what those men had in order to walk through what they walked through. They reverenced God. They worshipped Him. So it's the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. We already read that. Proverbs 1:7, I already read that verse, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And there's many of passages about fearing God are found in the book of Proverbs. That book centers around wise things that we should do and unwise things to avoid. But I marvel, it starts off in the first few verses there in Proverbs 1:7 by saying that the fear of the Lord is the knowledge is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the result, if we do, is a sound mind, wisdom, and knowledge. If we walk in the fear of God, that's going to be the fruit. Just like these tomato plants out here that are loaded with fruit. If we're walking in the fear of God, there'll be fruit. And those will be the fruits that will come from that will be wisdom, a sound mind, knowledge, and the list goes on and on. And then 16:6, it says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. By the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. So that is why we need to walk in reverence and worship before God. It's a safeguard as well to keep us from evil. And Proverbs tells us that the beginning of knowledge and wisdom is found in the fear of the Lord there. Number two is it shows our awe of Him. It can become common to speak of the Creator of the universe as one who cares for us. You know, He walked in our shoes. He experienced our life. He died for us on the cross while we were yet sinners. And we can get used to saying these truths and sharing verses without pondering what we're really saying. You know, I found myself in that situation already where you a verse comes to mind, you share the verse, and later it just impacts you of what you just said. And maybe it was because I just flippantly shared it. I don't know how to look at all that, but I believe there needs to be a fear and trembling when we share the Word of God. There should be a fear and trembling because the God that we're speaking about is living in us and working in us, as we heard this morning. He's the hope of glory. He's working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, it says in Philippians. His both to will and to do. It's He wants to do it and He will do it. If we reverence Him, if we surrender to Him. So to fear God is to show respect. It's to take a step back and understand how big and powerful He is. Like a young child looks at his father in awe of how powerful He is. We look at our Heavenly Father in awe because of how big and great and yet how much He cares and loves us. We see how big and great He is, yet He cares for our intricate needs. It says, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we, yet without sin. So then it goes on to say, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We have a Jesus that walked that walks beside us, that knows what we're experiencing. And if we reverence Him, we can be confident that He will give us grace to boldly enter His throne and find grace to help in time of need. That we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear. The third point I have is the fear of the Lord leads to life. Proverbs 14, verse 26 and 27 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. So, it says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children have a place of refuge. And it says it's a fountain of life. It speaks of abundant. When you think of a fountain, when I think of a fountain flowing, it's just continually flowing. That's that's God's grace towards His children that walk in reverence and fear before Him. He's continually pouring out abundant life to depart from the snares of death, it says. So in our old carnal life, in our old carnal nature, we thought the good life was when we could do whatever we wanted, or we could or when we could gain more for ourselves. But that kind of life has robbed many of souls. The fear of the Lord leads us to a confident, abundant, and satisfying life like nothing else will. Number four, I have the fear of the Lord is worship. And this should maybe been first. Because, you know, to worship is to give and show worth to something. The proper fear of the Lord is worship. And I touched on that already. And it means that we're showing God that He is worthy. Worship expresses our thankfulness and our gratitude to God. And it places Him in His proper place in our lives. Psalms 31:19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Oh, how great is thy goodness, it says, which he has laid up for them that fear thee. So to those that fear God and take refuge in Him, God is pictured as a father taking care of His children. He's protecting them from what can or could or would harm them. So again, this godly fear is a phileo fear. As a child looks on in respect towards their father, the father protects his children. It's the same with our Father in heaven. So again, it's not a feeling, but fearing God is a posture of heart. It's an attitude. It's a choice. It's a dying to self. When we fear God and reverence Him, self is on the cross. Self is crucified. I marvel at when we face trials, struggles, situations, at times we don't feel like praising God. We don't feel like worshiping Him. But when we turn and see God for who He is and just worship and praise and reverence Him, our problems go away. Our problems seem rather small. And yeah, that blesses me. It affects how we live, how we think, how we respond to Him, how we respond to others. And it's recognizing who He is and letting Him shape everything else. So let's look at a few scriptures of how it plays out in our lives. It says, if we fear God, we'll be in His Word. And Isaiah 66, I don't have the reference, I think it's Isaiah 66 here, says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been said, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word." And trembleth at my word. That's who God will look at when we reverence His word. And John Bunyan wrote that, "For as a man drinketh good doctrine into his soul, so he feareth God. If he drinks in it much, he feareth and reverenceth Him greatly. If he drinketh in it little, he feareth Him but a little. If he drinketh it not at all, he feareth Him not at all." Thought that was kind of sobering. So if we fear God, we approach Him with an awe and a reverence. And those verses in Hebrews, I'm going to reread those, Hebrews 12, that we started with. It says, "Seeing that ye refuse Him not that speaketh." See that ye refuse not Him that speaketh. And there could be a message on that verse. "For if they escape not, who refused Him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made. And those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear. And if we have surrendered our life to the Lord Jesus and are born again, God put us in a kingdom that cannot and will not be moved. The kingdom of God cannot and will not be moved. So that just, wow, that was sobering to me as I pondered that. You know, it says everything else is going to be shaken. But if we have sold out to the Lord Jesus and we reverence God, we fear God, he put us in a kingdom that cannot and will not be moved. And we didn't earn it. We did nothing to get in there. So we have no reason to be high-minded. But we need to fear, because we stand by faith, it says in Romans. We stand by faith. And I know, see there, it's also called a grace. It says, that let us have grace, whereby we may serve one another. It's the sweet and blessed work of the Spirit of grace in our lives when we're able to fear God with a pure heart and a clear conscience. Philippians 2, I quoted these verses already, but I'm going to read them. 12 and 13 says, therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we're to work that out in our lives. We're to show forth what God has done within. And to work it out, we do it with fear and trembling, because, as we heard this morning, the hope of glory dwells within us. It says that God which worketh in you, for it is God which worketh in you. That's why we do it with fear and trembling. We show forth the praises of God. We show forth the work of Christ in our lives by our works, by our words, and by our life. But we do it with fear and trembling, because we know that it is God that worketh in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. If any good thing comes out, it's because of God. He's the one working in us. That should cause a soberness and a reverence, a godly fear. Yet there should be joy, because the God of heaven, he wants to give us his kingdom. And it's his good pleasure, it says in Luke. So if we fear God, we want to represent him well. And we heard some of these verses this morning. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So when we fear God, we take seriously the role that we've been given as ambassadors of his kingdom. Our desire is not here to promote the things of this earth, but in everything we do, in our work, etc., we desire to represent the King, our King Jesus, someone greater than ourselves. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. We're not ambassadors for the kingdom of this world. We are ambassadors for Christ to the kingdom of this world. So, who do we represent? Is a good question to ask ourselves. What am I representing? Because it's easy to get caught up in things in our work life and whatever, but to stop and who do I represent? And I had a little bit of that experience this past week. There was someone had a difficult customer. We had worked on the job, and they had been working with this guy for months, and he was threatening to take him to court. And it was some very, very small things, and things that he had no idea what he was talking about. Things that pertain to stuff that we didn't work on. But the super asked if I would come and meet with this guy. And as I went, I heard some of the things he had been saying. And as I was driving there, my fleshly mind was like, you know, this guy is so smart, he's dumb. You know, he's on paper or out of the book, he had read things that how certain stuff was supposed to be, but had no common sense behind it. But I realized, again, by the Spirit of God, quickened my heart that, no, you can't approach him. You can't approach this situation like that. So I found myself just crying out to God, saying, Lord, you know that I'll mess this thing up. And anyway, without going into details, everything turned out well. And the super texted me later and then called me the next day and said he just marvels at how well everything went with that guy. He said, we've never had a meeting like that with him. And I didn't really do anything, but I tried to answer his questions, and I trust that the the meekness of Christ was coming out in my life, because I didn't have planned what I was saying. But God worked. He takes care of those things. We don't need to look to some lawyer or to some book on how to handle it. God's Spirit is beyond all the forces of lawyers and you name it in this world. God's Spirit will confound the wise, it says. And so, see, going on here, to fear God is to trust His wisdom over our own. In 1 Peter 1:24 and 25, it says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God will continue to endure long after I'm not here, long after the situation that we face is past. We lack wisdom to handle those things, but when we submit in the fear of God, submit to the word of God, to the Spirit of God, we have this promise that the word of the Lord endures forever. It'll throughout time, it's powerful enough to take care of every trial and situation that any one of you in here is going to face in years to come. And that's a beautiful thing. Even when we don't understand everything, we follow His ways because we believe that He knows what is best. Keep moving on here. And if we fear God, we submit to His authority. If we fear God, we submit to His authority. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So it's not just in theory in how we make, but we seek Him first in how we make decisions. When we may have decisions before us, we seek first the kingdom of God. That's submitting to God's authority. Seeking Him first, seeking direction from Him for our job, whatever we're going to face, whatever's before us. We sometimes can be tempted with this thing of, this is too small. God's not really interested in this little detail. I can figure this one out. But Jesus told us, he that is faithful in least is faithful in much. So faithful in bringing the little things before God, that helps us when big things come to be able to respond in the fear of God as we should. So, yeah, it says how we handle relationships, how we spend our money, how we treat people in or out of the church. We submit to God's authority in everything we pursue and do. So that's what a healthy fear of God looks like. It's not a fear of punishment. And as you noticed, I'm not talking, I touched a little bit on the other fear this morning, but I didn't have anything, didn't have much on the difference between the two, and there's a lot that could be shared there. But we'll find our way through that if we fear God and if we reverence Him. this is not a fear of punishment, but it's a response of love and reverence and surrender. And it motivates us not to turn away from God. Jeremiah 32:40 says, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts. I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me." I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. And the other thing that the fear of God does for us is it makes sin exceeding sinful, and it gives us integrity. And this verse was read this morning in Job. Job 2, verse 3, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and he still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause." We heard this verse already this morning, and we know that Job, he feared God, and that's how he could say, after all that happened, that's how he could say, "Though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. The Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord." It's because he had a relationship with his God, and he feared and reverenced him. And the fear of God also engages God to deliver us from looming dangers. When we fear and reverence Him, it's like opening a door for God to pour grace into our lives. He's there. He wants to help us through every situation. This is in Psalms 34:7, a very familiar verse, says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." So when we live in that reverential fear of God, we're not crushed under God's authority. We actually find freedom and joy inside his boundaries. There's a freedom and a joy inside the boundaries of the Word of God. And it's the kind of fear that draws us closer, not pushes us away. And it's, like I shared earlier, it's the kind of fear that overcomes that fear of terror, that fear of looming danger. So, bringing to a close, so what does it mean to fear God? It means we love Him, we trust Him, we submit to Him, even when we don't fully understand. It means we place Him above everything else and everyone else. And we do. When we do, that's where wisdom begins in our lives. God gives us wisdom to walk through whatever He has before us. So again, I'll just close with these verses in Hebrews 12 again, that we refuse not Him that speaketh. And wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear. I'll close with these verses in Hebrews 13. Says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." That's all that I have for today. Thank you for listening, and I trust that we were encouraged to worship God. Thank you.